Bucks fans, it is that time again. Time for the Ira Kaufman podcast. The sage is here. Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeCamper, we're both from JoeBucksFan.com with Ira, and it's all made possible by Bill Curry Ford. No payments on a new vehicle until the fall. No payments, plus $1,000 more for your trade-in. It's the summer paycation event from the third generation family Ford dealership in Tampa. That is Bill Curry Ford, our great friends. They are 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. BillCurryFord.com. See it all there. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, Curry. And we all drive Bill Curry Ford vehicles for years, and their service is fantastic. 100 loaner vehicles. Check them out. We'll talk more about them later today. BillCurryFord.com. And thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Memorize the name. Burn it into your head. Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them first when you have any disaster in your property. Water damage. When you see water, mold, fire, flood, storm damage, call them first. They'll get out there. Free evaluation, free assessment. They're professionals, professional equipment, and they'll be your offensive coordinator to make sure if this is an insurance claim, everything is going to go right and you'll get your property restored. And they can fix everything, too, if you need that kind of full service. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Remember the Ira Kaufman discount. You call them first after your free evaluation. If you need them, you'll get $500 back for your deductible or just cash back. But when you call, you got to mention Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. We'll talk more about them later, too. Let's jump right at it, Sage. Baker Mayfield, he finally talked to somebody this past week.
He talked to you.
It wasn't me. It wasn't any of us. And it wasn't anybody local. Prickly Pete Prisco. Short little guy, tan as anybody could possibly be.
January 4th, great tan. Right?
The CBS insider. Mayfield's walking around the fields of one buck after practice with him. You know, so of course, Lee and I were just waiting for that feature to come out, and it came out. And bottom line, Mayfield tells him that he's going to have more say in the offense.
More say?
Yeah. He says he's taken more ownership of the offense, and everybody's back. And when it comes to all those checks at the line of scrimmage, makes it easier with returning players. What do you think of that, Ira? Lee, Mayfield getting even more control combined with the fact that he's got a 34-year-old first-time play caller.
I think that's a big part of it. If Cohn came back, Lee, based on what Cohn did in 2023, I don't think Mayfield would find a need or would even want to flex his muscles on the strategic side because Cohn was so good at it. He was. Now, he had talent to work with. There's no question about it. And now there's more talent with Igbuka, your guy. I'm not surprised. Mayfield could do anything he wants in this organization right now, Lee. And I don't think anybody would say boo about it. I think he had a big hand in hiring Grizzard. He might have had a hand in the Igbuka pick. I mean, who the hell knows? I guarantee they ran it past him. What do you think of this guy? Why not? He's going to be throwing to him. As far as Mayfield making checkdowns and things, he's got the experience now, Lee. He's a seasoned quarterback and a damn good one. A damn good one.
Do you think he's earned the trust? That's what I'm thinking. I wouldn't imagine if they didn't trust Mayfield, they wouldn't give him extra responsibility.
That trust goes up to the owner's suite, Lee. Right up to the owner's suite. Mm. They love Mayfield.
What's
not to love? Especially at the money they're paying him.
Yeah.
They might love him a little less about a year from now when, let's face it, Lee, Light's got a pony up if he has another bang-up season. Might not throw 41 touchdowns, might throw 34. Five, but they win 11 or 12 games. You know, Mayfield's going to call the tune over there. Now, I still think, you know, I don't know if I want to pay him Brock Purdy money. He's better than Brock Purdy. I'm not saying he's not. But just because John Lynch might have made a mistake, Lee, I don't think Light has to jump in the John Lynch pool. And by the way, I think this has been a really good offseason for the Bucks, and also in this respect. Not only the players they added, Reddick, Igbuka, the two defensive backs, who so far look good. So far. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to read too much into it.
Yeah.
But, Lee, the other side of the pill, so to speak, Detroit just lost its center.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was a top-notch guy, and one of the keys for the Lions is their offensive line now.
Mm-hmm. Ragnow.
Yeah. Sewell's great.
He's
a right tackle. He's great. He's there, Tristan Wirfs.
Mm-hmm.
He plays the right side the way Wirfs used to play. And you know, Goff's good, and St. Brown is very good, and the tight end's good, and their running backs are really good. So I'm not saying, you know, they're paupers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm looking at the 49ers. Looks like I think they're taking a step back.
Yeah.
Maybe the Lions are taking a step back. Now the Eagles are the Eagles, Lee. It's a hell of a roster.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bucs do well against Philly.
Yes, they do. It's a bad matchup for Philly.
And we'll see what happens in September. But, you know, the flip side of that offseason, how's these other teams doing? You know, look, you want to say, oh, Carolina drafted that wide receiver. They got a ways to go, Lee. I know their quarterback ended up in the last month. I don't think he threw a pick in the final 4 weeks.
Oh, is that right?
And, you know, he's getting better. Mm-hmm. But he ain't no Mayfield. He ain't no Mayfield.
Since you're on the subject of Carolina, Mike Tanner, a buddy of mine, he's kind of a humorist slash researcher. Tanner's not a believer in the Carolina Panthers. He went through their games last year. He's not buying the hype. He's not buying the hype at all. I'll send it to you. It's kind of funny.
I thought Canales did a decent job.
He thought Canales did a decent job, but people saying they're going to win the division. He's like, tap the
brakes.
Oh,
yeah, tap the brakes.
Yeah, he says Carolina fans have Stockholm syndrome.
I think Hubbard's a pretty good running back, Lee.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. But they don't have the firepower at the
That's what he's saying. They have like 3 or 4 good players. I'll say that. They don't have much. You know, you were talking about John Lynch. I love Lynch. I get along with him. But you know what? If Jason Light would have botched 3 drafts the way John Lynch did.
One of the great botches of all time.
Trey Lance. And then there's Solomon. He didn't trade up for Solomon, but he could have had Patrick Mahomes, could have had a clean Deshaun Watson.
I think
Watson.
Some bad drafts are catching up with the 49ers.
Yes, and there was a third one I was trying to think of. There was a third one. Oh, Reuben Foster, trading up for Reuben Foster. Light trades up for Tristan Wirfs, crickets. John Lynch trades up for Reuben Foster. Oh, you hear the angels in the skies.
And they lost Greenlaw. Who was hurt, but when he's healthy, he's a good player.
They lost a lot of talent. You know, it's list season.
Debo's gone.
Yeah. There's all kinds of these lists coming out. And they got the 49ers over the Bucs. And I can't see that at all. I don't know. You know, hell, the Bucs could have beat these guys. And that was without Evans. That was without Godwin. And the Bucs even added to that roster. You're just talking about, there's no question the 49ers lost talent. And all of a sudden people think the 49ers are going to be so damn good.
Steve, you think the 49ers might have peaked a couple of years ago? I mean, they seem to be on a downhill slide a little bit.
Sage, I don't even understand the freaking question, to be honest with you. They won 6 games last year. Stop telling me that they're this, they're that.
Yeah.
They won 6 games. Now, I'll say the Bucs choked. The 49ers were not good last year. They
had a lot of injuries. They did have a lot of
injuries. I don't care if they had a lot of injuries. The Bucs went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, and they come home and
on a short week
lose to the 49ers. Can't do that. Cannot do that. That 49ers team was absolutely bad. And, yeah, I think they're just out of the mix right now. They need another year to reload if Lynch did a good enough job.
Three years ago, they had a hell of a roster.
Oh, they certainly did. Now, I'm not anti-Lynch, but I'm just thinking if White would pull the stunts that Lynch did in the draft, there'd be a parade of people with white platters outside of one buck. They'd want light on his head on a platter. There's this guy with Roto World. You know, he's a fantasy guy. He's got his annual GM rankings.
Oh, GM rankings.
Yeah, in the top 10, he's got Lynch. He's got this cat from Buffalo, Billy Bean. Not Billy Bean, but Brandon Bean. He's got Gudekest. He's got all these guys.
Roseman.
Oh, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer.
Veach, Chiefs.
That's a no-brainer. But he's got
Les Snead.
Les Snead's got there.
All right.
He got all these guys up there. I'm like, Detroit. He's got Detroit's GM up there.
Where the hell's Light?
Well, I'll get to that. And I'm thinking, well, no, wait a minute. And he's big on Super Bowls. See, when he went to the Light's little element, you know, his little excerpt about Light, and you could tell he's not really sold on Light. And he's got Light number 10. And I'm thinking about, wait a minute, all these guys you have above Light, none of them have more rings than Light. Most of them haven't even been to a Super Bowl yet.
Well, Veach does. Veach does.
I'm not talking about Veach. I'm talking about Gudekest. I'm talking about Snead. I'm talking about Brandon Bean.
Okay.
I know these guys. And it's like none of those guys I mentioned, there's like 5 or 6 guys. 6 guys, if I remember right. None of them have more rings than Light. Your Light's number 10. Why is that? Well, they're not sold on Mayfield. They're still not sold on Mayfield. These people that fall to their knees over Lamar Jackson, he's got one more freaking playoff win than Mayfield. Calm down, people.
In his career.
This guy's not Johnny Unitas. I don't want to get going anymore because you're
going to. Good point, Sleek.
All right, Sage. Briscoe also talked to Mayfield about Egbuka, the first-round pick, the receiver. And we finally hear Mayfield talk about him. I'll just read it. He says Egbuka's got a natural feel to his route running. He's got a good feel of getting to the right spots in zone. He's extremely smart. His head was never spinning. He was getting other guys lined up. He's polished. It still runs through the run game and Mike Evans, but that's how it goes in our offense.
You like to hear early positive reports on Egbuka. I'm not going to put too much into it in the famous Lee DeKemper underwear football that we're in right now.
That's Raheem.
Frankly, I don't care what Egbuka does in mandatory minicamp. That's not going to change my mind either.
The pads. Right?
And,
when the pads come
and,
on, right?
And who knows about training camp? I mean, there's training camp wonders, Lee. You call them August wonders, and they don't do anything. And the Bucks have had a bunch of them.
Cameron
right?
Johnson and his Thunderbird.
But I like to hear that kind of stuff from Mayfield. You know, one of the most important points that I think Mayfield's making about this kid, and Bowles loves it when he gets a rookie like this, they master the playbook almost instantly. And you can't teach that.
No, but you can scout that, Ira, and that's what's important when fans are evaluating, right? You can dive in. You expect the front office to get guys that have that capability, that have that football intelligence. We saw it with that video last year of Tyke Smith when the Bucks spit out there behind the scenes of the draft and how he was very commanding in the interview situations. And so I just feel like putting that out there, that it's not just an accident that they got this great talent who can be ready day one because he's so smart. It's by design.
This kid checks all the boxes, Lee.
Yeah.
And you have been talking about this kid since December.
Yeah, because he just reminded me so much of Chris Godwin. I'll say this real quick, and I can't remember where I read this or heard this, but Mayfield was having team workouts outside of One Buck, and guess who was a constant there? Aminka Egbuka. So last week, Steve, when I saw Egbuka, you know, at the underwear football practice, and man, looks like him and Mayfield, looks like they're on the same page. Well, there's a reason for that. They've been practicing off-site.
By the way, I don't know if you guys saw this or you can give me some more information about it, but I think I saw a video clip of Godwin on the news tonight.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I don't know, some kind of function or something.
Probably.
And he was there, and FLA came out to talk
to him. Was he running laps or was he eating a chicken? What's going on?
He said he's on course.
Whatever so that means.
We're going to read too much into that, Lee? It's on course.
So he said nothing. All right, we'll talk a lot more about that. Sage, we were talking in the last segment about Emeka Egbuka, and he was on NFL Network this week.
Does any Buck ever turn down an interview request? What's going on?
Ira, we don't know who turns something down if they show up. They don't announce.
Well, they're showing up left and right.
So-and-so turned it down. We don't know that.
What kind of show was this guy on? Was it Prickly Pete?
NFL Network. He was getting interviewed. He talked about mentors, and he was very savvy. They asked him about, you know, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin helping you out and guiding you. And, of course, we know that Mike Evans really isn't at practice, voluntary, not his time of year. And Chris Godwin's not on the field, and we don't know what's really going on with Chris Godwin other than him showing up at, you know, some sort of event that WFLA filmed him wearing street clothes.
Don't tell me he mentioned Sterling Shepard over here. I'm ready to fall off my chair.
Chris Godwin was not at OTA practice that we could see on Tuesday. He didn't seem to be. I looked all around the charity event that the Bucks were hosting.
He's going to be around next week. Doesn't mean he's going to be on the field.
Right. So
that's right.
Anyway, so they were asking Egbuka, who's sort of mentoring you. Now, he's had nice things to say about Evans and Godwin. He was very skillful with that, saying I could talk to him about what's going on and off the field. But he said that it's Sterling Shepard who is every.
I just came up with that. I was joking. I was joking.
He said every time he comes back from running a route, Sterling sort of breaks it down for him. And then he says, quote, we'll watch it together on film post-practice, and we're always studying the game. He also credited Mayfield for constantly teaching him how to analyze defenses and adjust his routes. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it's very much in Mayfield's interest to help this young man along. He's already polished. And just polish him a little bit more. I was half joking about Sterling Shepard. I didn't know what Steve was going to say. Lee, Shepard's an interesting cat. Lee, he's an interesting cat. Every time I'm ready to turn the page on him, let's get a younger guy in there or something. He makes a play. Every once in a while, he makes a play. Sometimes it's a big play. Turns out to be in a game. But sometimes he makes a bonehead play, Lee. He's not bad as a depth piece, Lee. He's not bad as a depth piece. I trust him. I think I trust him more than Trey Palmer. I don't know about you. I don't think Palmer's a polished route runner. I just don't think he
I've heard that, too, from someone with the Bucks. And the reason why Trey Palmer is on the roster is he could stretch defenses.
Not if him and Mayfield can't connect.
Well, that's just it. I always wondered why they were never – they never appeared to be on the same page. Now I was talking with someone recently, and they're like, well, Palmer, the top of his route isn't exactly
sharp.
So you're
comparing that to DeSean Jackson and Jameis, right?
Well, DeSean Jackson, there was malice. That's a strong word, but there was malice.
From Jackson towards
yes. He wanted Jameis out. He'd go out there and wrong routes. Malice. That's the best word I could describe it.
Unprofessional.
DeSean Jackson had malice in his heart. That's one reason why I'm very bitter when I write about the guy. And
Palmer might be hanging by a thread going into 26.
If Tez Johnson shows anything, I think he beats out Palmer for a roster spot.
Yeah. Shepard Sage, what a lot of people don't realize, I was glad to hear it because, well, first, he's that kind of guy, but I think most people don't realize that Shepard grew up in the game. His father played in the NFL. His father was actually a returner, not a great returner, not a special player, but he hung around 5 years in the league.
And he's experienced.
His father played for Joe Gibbs. His father played for Jimmy Johnson. 2-year returner for Dallas and stuff, so it's not like he hasn't been around coaches.
Play for Joe Gibbs, that means maybe teammate with Bowles?
Close. Mm-hmm. I think he was late 80s, though, with the Redskins, so maybe. You know what? I have to explore that. That's something to ask the coach. That's a good one, Lee.
Keep and he's played a lot of NFL games.
Played, it's his 10th year, so hey, if he's got an OTA vet in there who's just happy to help him, I think that's fantastic.
I heard Tristan Wirfs this offseason on a podcast where he just raved about Justin School, about how he was basically like a third assistant coach, that whenever he came out the field, or maybe it was Getke, first thing they would come to is Schooley. He'd have everything broken down on that drive, what they were doing right, what they were doing wrong, what they should look out for, what's going well. It was, and Werfs just couldn't say enough about how much he helped him. School helped him. And I've heard the same thing. We all have heard the same thing about Hainsey. We know Cone loved Hainsey so much. Not only did he bring him to Jacksonville with him, but Cone would call Hainsey up late at night and bounce ideas off his head when he's hatching a game plan. Do we, and when I say we, I think we as fans, do we way overlook that element of a backup? Like a backup is like what Shepard's doing with Ibuka, what School did with Getke and Wirfs, what Hainsey used to do. Is that an overlooked element of a football team, good football team?
I see your point, Lee, because...
Because we think they're interchangeable, they're backups. So
when
what?
You hear from a peer, sometimes it's got more impact than hearing from a coach. But at the same time, Lee, this Carberry, he did a whale of a job last year.
He did
a whale of a job in year one,
The offensive line coach, Kevin Carberry.
And he's back. And so are the five starters. I got as much confidence in this heck guy as I do for Schooley. At least on the field. Maybe not as intangible.
You mean Charlie Heck, the new guy, this new signee?
Big dude.
The new signee. His father was a player.
Coach. Current coach.
Boy, speaking of the offensive line, Steve, this offensive line, this is something to behold. This franchise has been playing for 50 years. I made a statement, and you might drop your drawers when you read it.
Whoa!
This is the best O-line in franchise history. It is. It's the best. It's the best O-line. Now, 2020, you had Marpet and Donovan Smith.
Yeah.
Well, now you got Tristan Wirfs instead of Donovan Smith.
Oh, they had Ryan Jensen,
They had
too.
Wirfs then, too.
They
what
did,
are you talking
but
about?
But not on the blind side. Not on the blind side. Ryan Jensen, okay, I understand that.
I mean, they had three Pro Bowlers. One was all pro.
Gedeke's better than any other.
Donovan Smith.
Yeah. And as much as I love Buck Irving, because I mention him on every freaking podcast, Rashad White all of a sudden averaged 4.3. That ain't got nothing to do with Bucky Irving.
That's true.
That could be a little scheme, but it's not all scheme. You got to block, and they blocked.
Is Cody Mock better than the guy who went to Cincinnati? The guy from
Kappa.
Kappa?
Yeah, Alex Kappa.
Yes, he is.
I kind of think that, too. I kind of think that, too.
This is a hell of an offensive line. They had a lot of continuity last year. They missed 6 games, five starters. That's rare. That's rare. You can't count on that.
You have been on this for years, and you're not wrong whatsoever.
I love what you can do with an elite offensive line.
Well, you've been on this since DeMar Dotson was around. You've always lauded how the Bucs have usually had a healthy offensive line. And you're not wrong about that. And it is rare for them to have a nasty injury. Like when Kappa got hurt,
Jensen.
Like, oh, my gosh.
Or Jensen.
Well, Jensen was just an outlier.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Barnes going to be a hell of a player, by the way. I thought he was pretty good last year. I think he's going to be better in 25.
I agree with that.
Smart as a whip, that guy. Smart
I would hope so.
And that's what you need at the center position.
I don't know.
You need brains.
I'm still kind of wrestling with, is the O-line better now than it was in 2020? But I'll think about it. We'll talk about it next week on the Joe Bucks Fan Show. But
it might be deeper in 2020.
We don't know the depth yet. It'll be tested, obviously. The Bucks ran out Aaron Stinney at guard all the way through the Super Bowl as a backup in 2020. So
Pat McAfee's buddy that came in and replaced Marpet when he was hurt.
Yeah, AQ Shipley.
And I don't want to hear any yakking about Mayfield taking 40 sacks. Oh, that's horrible. It's brutal. I don't have a problem with it. Mayfield holds on to the ball. He's not Tom Brady. He has a different approach. He's going to take a hit. Brady wasn't.
Yes and no. I agree with you because he protects the ball, and 40 sacks didn't really hurt him. But sooner or later, that's going to catch up. He's not a big dude. He's not Ben Roethlisberger.
That's on Mayfield. That's on Mayfield.
Oh, yeah. That's not on the offensive line. I totally agree with that. You know, his quarterback coach, Thad Lewis, he mentioned this. And Jim Miller said it on NFL radio that with that offensive line, 40 sacks is too much. That's not on the offensive line. That's on Mayfield. No. Because you don't want that guy getting beat up because he's 30 now.
I don't think it's a stretch to suggest that one of the main messages from the coaching staff, from Bowles on down, through Thad Lewis, through Grizzard, and all points in between towards Baker Mayfield is, we don't want you running as much. That could be happening. I think he's very effective.
Yes, he is.
In what he's doing. But you got Kyle Trask behind him.
They're telling Mayfield that. I really don't. I think they don't want to do anything to take away from what he's been doing. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. And Bowles is the ultimate, hey, football has injuries. I'll play all my starters, even though we're up by 21 points in the fourth quarter.
We're talking about.
I know, but I don't think they really care. And I think, obviously, it's just some sort of unwritten thing that Mayfield knows, sure, they don't want me scrambling, taking shots.
They're not going to care till he's laying on the turf at the 44-yard line with a sore ankle.
If they gave a crap, they'd pull him from some of these games when he had a lead. They won't do it.
The best one I could think of was 2 years ago against Carolina. You can make an argument he should have been on the field because he couldn't do anything. But that tells me they're not confident with Trask.
There's plenty of games last year where they were leading and they left him in there, and he took some shots.
New Orleans point, Steve, because you don't want to trample on a guy's instincts.
It's a fine line.
I would trample on him, but I'm saying I don't think I'm not talking about me. I'm at $1. I don't think they're saying anything to Mayfield.
Nobody's telling Josh Allen, you know, stay in the pocket.
Other than what Thad Lewis told reporters, that he's telling Mayfield, hey, you know, remember your age, you gotta think more about that. And Mayfield told Pete Prisco of CBS Sports this week that he's looking to cut interceptions, but you know, some of those things he does on third down, that's football, and you just gotta do it.
I think this interception thing's overblown, just like I think the sack thing's overblown. I mean, 41 touchdowns, what do you have, 16 picks or something?
16, yeah.
What's wrong with that ratio? Is that a bad ratio all of a sudden?
It's a great ratio.
I don't want to mess with Mayfield too much.
That's fair.
Now, you I'll mess with. We're on the brink of Father's Day, Steve. It's worth mentioning. You know, I'm celebrating Father's Day with a brand-new electric guitar. Yes, the Sage is going to get into some serious blues riffs. I'm telling you right now.
You know, I almost hate to address this, Ira, but there it is on ProFootballTalk.com. Mike Florio, who comes on this station with T-Kraz and on the drive in the evening and with the morning show,
good,
Pat
good
and
friend
Aaron.
Of Joe Bucks fan.
Good friend of ours. Huge influencer within the NFL and NBC Sports. And there he is writing a story about Bill Belichick exploring. There's only one team to watch for Belichick's potential return to the NFL. One team that makes sense. One team that's a fit. One team that has a history of that leads you to believe that they would make this kind of move. And Florio was very clear. That's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Next year, if Todd Bowles doesn't hit whatever threshold it is that ownership may have for him. Lee, I'm going to turn it to you first. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it was very interesting last year that all of a sudden Bill Belichick, when he's unemployed, looking for work, hops on the Manning Bros show. And starts, oh, what a great job Jason Light's done. Oh, I love Baker Mayfield. And it just made you wonder. Because Belichick is nothing if not calculating. He made you think, was he planting a seed in certain people's ears?
With your buddy Mike Lombardi at his side also.
The concierge?
Speaking into his ear over there.
It just, it made me go, like Arsenio Hall used to say, made me go, and I'll turn it over to Ira.
Well, I got a simple question for Mike Florio. How come it hasn't already happened when Belichick was sniffing around for NFL jobs? How come it didn't happen? The Glazers could have hired him right then and there. They didn't. Nobody hired him. Arthur Blank didn't hire him. You know, Bowles wasn't that secure at that point. He wasn't.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You got to rewind. You're on Tampa Bay radio. You're saying Todd Bowles wasn't that secure after winning a playoff game, after taking the Lions to the final series. This is when Bill Belichick was looking for a head coaching job.
He went 10-9. Take it easy. He went 10-9. Relax.
So he wasn't on stable footing?
Not if you can get Bill Belichick, if you want him.
All right.
If you want him.
If you want him. That's
if you want him. I think this is 90% of this is coming from Belichick towards the Bucs rather than the Bucs towards Belichick. And I don't know how Light feels about Belichick at this point. I don't know that. I don't know that he wants to work with him.
Again.
Yeah, again. Maybe that wouldn't be a little crowded front office room for Jason Light's.
Which is why Richie McKay didn't want Belichick around.
You know, so I think we're stuck with this forever. Can you let Belichick coach a couple of games in the college and see what the hell happens?
Well, I'm going to ask you something, Ira. You know NFL, the inner workings of NFL franchises is much better than Steve and I. We know teams don't like backups who bring drama. Quarterbacks, that is. That was the big reason we heard Shedeur Sanders dropped in the draft. Teams weren't going to put up with the circus for a backup. Could the same apply to a coach who has a 20-year-old girlfriend that's on TMZ every other day?
That's a fair point. And I thought you were going with that is, does the same thing apply to a coach? And I think this is fair. Belichick doesn't have the allure he had 5 years ago. He doesn't have it.
The sheen has worn off, as Marty Schottenheimer would say.
He doesn't have that kind of aura, because I got news for you guys. The receipts are in. He needed Brady more than Brady needed him. I mean, the truth's the truth. Brady goes into Tampa, wins right away without him, and Belichick's, you know, 3-4 years in a row, has bad drafts, doesn't know what the hell he's doing, can't replace Brady, you know, with a decent quarterback, terrible records, boring. It's not the same Bill Belichick.
Butchered
I'm
Mac
sorry.
Jones.
It's not the same.
Butchered Mac Jones. Butchered him. Belichick, yeah, he misses Brady. Does he equally miss Ernie Adams?
He misses the guys around him.
Ira, I'm very...
Where'd he dig this thing up, Florio? why is this coming up
I'm very
in the early June?
I'm very confused.
It's June. That's why. Look at the calendar.
I'm confused. First, how is it drama if Belichick's girlfriend comes into an NFL team? There's no college campus for her to run or some administrators for her to deal with. There's the head coach and the GM. And if Belichick became head coach, I think it would only happen under one umbrella, which is... Jason Light is running the draft, and you're the coach. And if you don't want the job under those circumstances, then that's okay. And that's the way it is. But what is she going to do as far as drama? What is she going to do?
I think one of the great things about the Bucs right now is the lack of distractions. Jason Light prides himself on that. The Glazers love that.
There's no public records, open records, like they deal with in North Carolina where they can read her emails and stuff.
Belichick seems to be having trouble laying the law down. To this 27-year-old.
The bigger picture, Ira, here's Mike Florio, who just had Todd Bowles on his show at the Combine, sat down with the guy. This is a show of disrespect. It really is.
I think it is.
Where Florio, yes, he wants to write about Belichick.
Landing spots for Belichick.
But he's got to pick the guy who's won 4 consecutive division titles, who he thinks for some reason is potentially on a hot seat. And I believe he is. I know you guys don't believe he is. But, I mean, why didn't he pick somebody else? Is there nowhere else?
Buffalo. They didn't want anything.
Would you rather live?
Well, Belichick did pretty well in East Rutherford.
I think Belichick would take any
and
job.
And Foxborough.
He would
sure,
take
but
any
given
job.
A choice, Buffalo or Tampa, I mean, come on.
Look, I'm not saying Tampa's not a good job. It is.
No.
And he likes Mayfield.
I'm talking about the story, Ira. You're saying this isn't going away? That we're going to keep hearing Belichick to maybe the Bucs, maybe another team? Just the fact that this is out there and the connection with Light and what Lee mentioned about his chatter on the Manning cast, gushing
about the
Bucs.
You're not suggesting Light put Florio up to the story.
I don't know anything. I'm saying that how's it going to go away if everybody knows Belichick went on the record? If he's that calculating and smart, he knows that, well, you know what, even if I don't get the job this year, I've already put it out there how much I love the GM and the quarterback and the roster, and Tristan Wirfs is the greatest left tackle in history, and a lot of things that he said.
Here's what I will say, Lee, and you've heard me say I don't think Bowles would get dumped even if he has a bad year.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
One bad year. But I will say this. He'll go into 26 on a very hot seat. He would go in with a very hot seat. And if you do it 2 years in a row, even if you go 8-9 the second year, you're probably out because this is a very talented roster.
There's only been one coach the Glazers put up with two losing seasons in a row, and that guy won them a Super Bowl.
But you have to remember, Steve, you got to look at ownership, and as Lee points out, they're not trigger happy. They do take a long-range view. Now, they have big expectations for this year. They do, and Lee said it. He's built up some street cred.
That's what I think.
He has, and Steve, you don't really
go I don't
along.
Buy it at
you
all.
You don't buy
I
it.
Think ownership sets expectations. I think we can all agree on that. Whatever, they have a number. By the time opening day rolls around, they got a number. We think Todd should win 11 games. If he comes in...
They might think Bowles overachieved last year. They might.
Some people do. Some people don't. We've talked to them from the standpoint of they have full respect. Like, we can say that they've got full respect for the job Bowles did last year. But I'm not looking in the rearview mirror. I think they come with a number, if that's 11, and he, without some sort of major injury or issue or whatever, he rolls a 7. I think that makes them all sit around the breakfast table with, you know, the fancy omelets and the bagels and have
and
a hard discussion. Just like if they were supposed to win 9 and they won 5. You get a 4-game gap onto what ownership thinks you should do.
I think he'd get another year to straighten the ship. And if he doesn't do so, he's out. He's out.
Well, when I said I think he's got street cred, I'm not factoring in a 4-win season. 4 wins, then
sure.
I think definitely on the hot seat. But 7-8 wins, again, I'm just going at history. They've never fired a coach unless he's had 2 losing seasons in a row. Except for Chucky. Chucky.
Rame didn't have 2 losing seasons in a row.
Well, he also lost 10 games.
But he lost the final 10 games. They didn't have a choice, right? They didn't
yeah.
have a choice. I didn't realize that Florio put that story out. But well, he's always throwing Bowles up there, you know, in the hottest of hot seats.
It had to be addressed because, like you said, it's going to stick around. If this is out there.
I'll be the first to say this is a strong roster. If the coach's job is to squeeze the best results out of this roster, you fall well short. It does raise questions, Steve.
Steve, if the Bucks win 9 games, miss the playoffs, which is possible, and they still don't have an edge rush, what do you think is going through the Glazers' minds?
No edge rush? I don't.
Come on,
I don't
Light.
Know.
What are you doing with the edge rush?
Well, you see,
you can say the coach.
We don't know how much they value the sacks versus the edge rush and all the statistical games that are.
Well,
played.
We know what they value. The defense sucked last year.
Yeah, the overall
value wins.
Yeah, overall the defense was bad, but like we've said before, the sack number is top 7 in the league consistently. So I don't know how they look at it, but if Hassan Reddick comes in and he's a total whiff. Well, they're going to hang that on the GM as much as they would hang it on Bowles, I think, because it's only 1 year. I think so much comes back to these rookies. Bowles has shown, I give him credit and I blame him for everything, right? To me, the head coach goes both directions. Bowles has done a great job developing young players. And if that continues, they'd be nuts to get rid of them in my mind. So these rookies, he has another good rookie class, both sides of the ball. Why are you going to mess with that?
With 9 wins.
Sure.
You know what I think?
If that's the situation with good rookies, but for me,
yeah.
You know, if it's just not a good year, what are you hanging on to? What are you clinging to? 1-3 in the playoffs?
You know what I think the overarching point of this whole discussion is, Lee?
They need to make a playoff run.
If Belichick does come to town somehow, some way, could I get to him? Could I soften him up?
Could anybody
get to him?
Well, you have. So, yes, you could. How often? I don't know.
Or is he going to say, we're on to Carolina, to one of my questions?
Ira, I think you could get to Belichick because you have had a relationship to a degree with him.
To a degree.
You spend time with him. You emailed him. You had a personal dealing with him on a sensitive matter. And not a lot of people can say that around the National Football League. So, and I think this will be a destination for Belichick in a lot of ways. Not because he's just aching for a job, but because the media would go real easy on him. He can push him around here, no problem.
I could be a big compelling factor for Belichick coming here. Oh, the sage is still around? Good. You think we can get him on a podcast for 45 minutes? Unlikely.
I think so. If you keep badgering him like you do, I think so. Florida's Elite Restoration, we're very happy. to continue to tell people about them like we did earlier. Storm season is here. The rains have come. Be aware. Mold, water in your house. You don't know where it's coming from. You're the water damage whisperer. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Get there now. Be prepared. Call them first whenever you have a disaster at your property of any kind. And we love continuing to tell people, Ira, about Bill Curry Ford. No payments until the fall. No payments. Plus $1,000 more for your trade. And they've got transparent pricing. And they've got the Ira Kaufman discount on top of that. And Sean Sullivan, the big boss, he'll take your emails. Find him at BillCurryFord.com. He'll embrace you as a football fan, but he'll talk to you as your favorite cousin in the car business, give you all the information you need, even if you're just preparing to do something big like upgrading to a new truck for the first time. Their service department is first class. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, before we fire away with another 10 minutes of Bucks topics, what's on the agenda for you this weekend?
I think we're laying low, Steve. I think we're laying low. I don't want to push it too much. You know, my wife's still recovering from our New York trip. Took a lot out of her. I pushed her. Come on, honey. The thing's only 11th Avenue blocks away. Keep going. Keep walking. Keep walking. Can't we take a taxi? No. I ain't going to take a taxi. It's $10 as soon as you go in the door. You crazy? By the way, I didn't tell this story, so I might as well tell it now. One of the nights, my brother's, my brother came in from Palm Springs with his new bride. So his son and his wife met us one night after a matinee, and they picked the restaurant, which was close to our hotel, which was good. So I asked my brother the day before, hey, what's the name of the restaurant? He gave me the name. It was, one of these steakhouses, like Shula's or something like that. Everything's a la carte. So I look it up. First thing I see, $85 for a steak. No baked potato. Nothing. So we get there, and everybody understood. My brother's picking up the tab. He already told me he's picking mine up. And you know his kid is thinking that. So the waiter comes over. We all order our drinks. Then they go up to Jeremy. All right, what are you having, sir? Well, we'll start with three appetizers, four salads. Bring it out right in the middle here before we get anything. Final bill, give me the tally.
How many people total?
There were six of us.
Drinks?
$7.50 without tip. $7.50. My brother put the card down. His other card popped out, went under the table. I think $7.50.
And you erupted it with a standing ovation.
That's not right for his kid to do that, Steve. Your kids wouldn't do that.
Well, maybe he told them in advance, get whatever you want. I'm taking you to dinner.
Now, Lee, we went to a nice Italian dinner in Vegas, remember? And my brother came, and I picked up the tab.
I picked up the tab.
The first time Lee's ever seen me do that, Steve. And it might be the last.
A nice upscale place, too.
It was.
All right,
they had a little piano player or something.
They did.
Yeah.
Well, you can enjoy your chill weekend, Ira.
We're gonna have a chill weekend,
and we'll keep it rolling here. 60,000 posts we've had now at JoeBucksFan.com, Ira, in 17 years. That's 9 a day.
How many am I responsible for? About 2,500,
something like that, Ira.
Yeah,
so that's pretty good. That's your,
by the way, you said fourth quarter, Steve. That's where game management comes into play right here. It's all about game management, Steve. I got to know when to call a timeout on you.
Clock management. All right, Ira, look, Servassier Dennis, a guy who's been a hot topic for a lot of Bucks fans.
He is.
Inside linebacker, third-year player. Bucks are looking at him as their savior inside linebacker next to Levante David. And Dennis did his interview session with the media, first time he had talked, and he had two very interesting things to say. Number one, he said that he was healthy. He didn't say to what degree, but he said he was healthy when the Bucks played the last playoff game last year. Now, my first thought was, well, damn, they pulled Ryan Jensen off IR after not playing all year to play in one playoff game. The Bucks really could have used Dennis if he was really healthy, so he wasn't pushed on that. But the other thing he said, Ira, was that, quote, now I can play with no worry. He admitted when I asked him that his shoulder injury that he had surgery on, which we know from Todd Bowles was there from his college days. Funny, nobody mentioned that during the draft, that, hey, we just picked a fifth-round pick with a bad shoulder. Don't worry about it. But we know that he was hurt, and he said, yeah, it's a big load off him, and he can play without worry.
Lee, here's why there's a lot of buzz about this guy. Here's why. He could, and Lee, you love that could potential word, he could play a critical role in what was one of the Bucks' major weaknesses last year, and that's coverage in the middle of the field. Now, he's only one guy. I understand that. But K.J. Britt couldn't cover me. Lee. If I do a wheel route, I'm leaving Britt in the dust. He's scampering. This guy's fast. This guy covers ground. They need a coverage guy. They need a coverage guy. I'm not sure about Walker, what his forte is, whether Walker's better against the run. Deion Jones used to be a good coverage guy, but he ain't 27 anymore. A healthy Dennis could make a difference, Lee. He could. But you and I are very wary of the word could. We are. We are. I'm rooting for the guy, and so are you. And so are you. Middle of the field, absolute disaster last year defensively. Terrible. Terrible. I'm looking for him to make a contribution, Lee.
Very interesting that Dennis would say he could have played in a playoff game. Because
he didn't say that. He said he was healthy. I don't know what that means.
Well, that's okay.
Certainly, it's the speculation is the way you're going.
Well, I remember talking to him right before that playoff game because the Bucks had not ruled him out, and I talked to him. And you know, body language is a big giveaway to me. Some guys can play poker. Some guys can't. Jason Light's a good example. He can't play poker. But so body language is a giveaway. And his body language was SOB, man. I can't play. And I asked him, are you going to be healthy enough
biggest
to play?
Biggest game of the year. I can't
yeah,
play.
I'm not going, man. And he was. You could tell he was so bummed out about that. So that smells like that was an order from above. Your season's done.
What do you think of that, Ira, just from the standpoint of this was a massive weakness for the Bucks? Playoffs there. I get that the guy hadn't played in 3 months.
I think that's what they were thinking, Steve.
But it was not a lower body injury, right? The guy's got wheels. He's fast. He can move. So I have to assume that the guy played it until October. He was in shape. He didn't get himself out of shape.
I don't know that he was in football shape, Steve.
No, but he was probably closer than Ryan Jensen was with a terrible knee. I don't know. What's your thought on that he probably could have gone?
Well, based on what I saw from the Commanders game, they could have used him. They could have freaking used him because he might have been covering Austin Eckler coming out of the backfield on that critical play. Not that Diaby was terrible in coverage, but he couldn't get there. He couldn't get there. Would he have made a difference? I don't think it's preposterous to think that he wouldn't have because that game was so close. A play here or a play there, and you never know when the hell that play is. Now, I want to focus on what the hell Mayfield was doing on 2nd and 2 running a quarterback sneak because I don't remember them doing the whole freaking year.
And wasn't that the butchered snap?
Yeah, no, not even the butchered snap. I think it was 2nd and 2, and they wasted a down with Mayfield running, not a scramble. I mean, it was a designed play. I don't think they ran that play all year. What are you
Maybe
doing?
Maybe that's why they ran it.
And it contributed to having to settle for a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown. They could have used Dennis that day, so I'm not sure what the real story is. He told you he can't go, and now it's revisionist history. I could have played.
Yeah, which is it? If you're the Bucks and you're debating, you know what you have in Russell. It ain't much. You know what you have in K.J. Britt defending the pass. It ain't much. Could Dennis have been an improvement? Yeah. Could Russell be an improvement? No. Could K.J. Britt be an improvement? No. Well, you go with the guy who could, not the guys who can't.
Maybe he wasn't a football shape.
That could be, but this is just really, really curious that, you know, when he told me right before the playoff game that he can't go and he hasn't been cleared and his season's done, and then all of a sudden here in underwear football 5 months later, oh, man, I was healthy.
By the way, I got a question for Lee here because he knows this stuff better than I do. The Tribe, which you absolutely
Oh, my
name.
God, The Tribe.
The Tribe. Is it true? I think I saw this in passing, and I kind of couldn't believe it. In their rankings, did they have Kalijah Kancey as one of the worst defensive tackles in the NFL?
For run defense.
Oh, it's just for run defense.
And I don't agree with them.
Well, they put a lousy grade on him.
Yeah, well, their grades are their grades get a bad grade in my eyes. But here's the thing about Kancey.
I thought Kancey had a good season.
I never thought Kancey was a bad run defender. I never saw him be bad. Okay, he might get pushed off the line once in a while. He's not that big. It's understandable. But when Next Gen Stats, who I trust a hell of a lot more than the PFF Tribe, because they're going off GPS data. GPS data doesn't lie unless you're saying someone's hacking into it. When they have him not missing a tackle the whole year, I don't know how a lousy run defender never misses a tackle.
How can you have two different views like that?
One's subjective, one's objective.
Ira, I was walking around practice on Tuesday. A lot of longtime Buccaneer veterans were there for the charity event. Probably about 14 or so that I saw.
Did you get your hair cut that day, Stevie? Did you participate? A near cut for a cure?
No. Did not participate. Nobody spray painted my head.
Because Lee would have taken a picture. You know Lee. He'll take a picture at anything. And then we could have put it for grins up on the website.
So I talked to a couple of the veteran players, and one of them I asked about, what do you think of the current team? Now, This was not for publication with the guy's name, but the listeners can trust that this is a guy who not only played for the Bucks, but pays very close attention to the team.
What was your question?
Well, I just simply asked him, what do you think? What do you think of the team, of this current group? What do you think they got what it takes? Do you think something's missing? He proceeded to give me a 3-plus minute rant, not rant really, but just an explanation of he just sees that while they may be able to compete with Philly or Detroit during the regular season, he doesn't think the Bucks have any shot in the playoffs. They're not that team like Philly or Detroit that can elevate its game in the postseason. They don't have something about the makeup of the team. It's either coaching or leadership or the type of talent or all combined.
Detroit just got its ass kicked by the Washington Commanders. I'm going to build up Detroit into a monolith over here. Take it easy.
And he just doesn't think that that they have that, whatever, maybe.
What is this intangible the guy's talking about, Steve? What's he talking about?
He didn't put a finger on it. I'm just saying, what are your thoughts as far as those teams being able to elevate versus the Bucks?
You think he was talking about Bolt? Maybe.
I think he was talking about the extracurricular that you really can't define and you really can't measure. Dog.
Well, 2 years ago, the Bucks had Dog dispatching the Eagles and playing the Lions very tough.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And the Commanders were a better team than we thought they were. When they lost to Philly, they shot themselves in the foot. They didn't even give themselves a chance. Steve, I wish the guy was a little more specific about what he thinks is holding the Bucks back in the postseason. Does he think they're not talented enough? I didn't get that impression from what you're saying.
He didn't say it's this guy's fault. He just couldn't pinpoint it.
Could it be that killer instinct that Bowles talks about?
That was my first thought was, this is the Bowles with the vagueness of the killer instinct. This is a player on the outside who's seeing it.
Dog.
Go with that.
Is that a possibility?
Well, how do you define dog?
It's very hard to define killer instinct.
Yeah, I mean, is it, you know, I hear people grouse that, you know, light doesn't bring in an a-hole to come in here and chews glass, you know. But that's not what the team wants. Is that a factor? Who was the glass chewer back in 2020? Brady. I don't know if he's a glass chewer or a dog, but he's a damn good quarterback, you know.
Gronkowski's not an ass chewer. Yeah, you know, no. As good as he was.
Who, Devin White maybe was the ass chewer?
No, you had JPP was all over players.
True, JPP.
Sue was in guys' faces at real high standard. I think they had some of those guys.
You're correct. Antonio Brown,
a little lunatic, but also a very intense. Jensen, maybe that's what they're missing. Do you think that's what they're missing, or this is nonsense?
Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe they don't have somebody like that. Maybe they don't have somebody like that.
Nepal
that would ring people out at halftime, get your head out of your ass. Maybe Mayfield? I don't know.
Levante. He's done it.
Has he done it?
Yes, he has.
Doesn't come natural, does it?
No, he's developed that over the years. I had heard after the Denver game, he reamed people a new backside. This has to be better. We can't put up with this. This is nonsense. And I went up to Levante. You know, they brought Levante up, the Bucks media relations, to, you know, they had a microphone for him, and not at the podium, but in the locker room. And I asked him, I said, this is what I heard. Did you chew guys out? And he kind of smiled. He goes, things had to be said.
Sage, as far as that point goes with the chew-out factor, David, in one of his many interviews that he did, he specified, recent interviews, he specified that the difference between Tom Brady and Baker Mayfield is that Brady is the guy who will go up to you and say, you got to do this better, you got to work on this, he'll get on you, he'll get in your game, whereas Mayfield doesn't do that. That's according to David, that Baker's not that guy. He's more like, all right, guys, let's go out and get him, you know. And sure, X's and O's, he'll talk to his offense, but he's not that guy, which I thought was interesting.
And it's also interesting that Lee mentions Levante David, because if it's true, Lee, that he has developed that aspect of leadership, he didn't have it when he came into the league. And I don't think he's had it until a few years ago. I'm wondering if Bowles has leaned on him to go in that direction, to be a coach on the field. I think part of it is Bowles talking to David. We need you to do this.
I think that's true, and it brings up a really cool story. I haven't written it yet, but Levante David, I think he was on Kay Adams' show. He's been on quite a few shows. I think he was on Kay Adams' show, and oh, no, he was with Chucky. He had a sit-down with Chucky. Chucky asked him, you got the green dot. Isn't that kind of crazy? You know, you got Bowles talking to you, and you're trying to get ready for a play. He's like, yeah. He goes, Rich Grannon used to tell me to shut the bleep up. What do you say to Bowles when, you know, he's talking to you and you're trying to set a play up? He said, I kind of just wave at him, like, enough. I wave at him. I got it. And Bowles was asked about that. And Bowles said, When Levante waves me off, I wave the finger at him. and then he went to pains to let everyone know I'm joking.
You think he was joking?
I know I am.
All right, Ira, look, enjoy your weekend. Lee, you got anything planned this weekend? We never asked Lee what he's got going on this weekend.
No, nobody wants to know my weekend. My weekend involves watching football games I got saved on YouTube TV and drinking beer. That's my idea of a weekend.
And what do you got, Steve? What do you got? You're going to practice tennis to prepare for an ultimate match with me?
You're dodging me, Ari. You're dodging me.